Good morning, everybody. Are you awake? Are you excited to be here today? I love hearing the story of Jesus. Wasn't that powerful to hear? I absolutely love that. We are really about one big thing at our church. We're not about rules. We're not about pointing fingers. We're not about condemnation. We're about Jesus. And we think Jesus is what it is all about. Life and the world changed when Jesus came into this world, and everything changed the day Jesus rose from the dead. So just as we heard, just as we are going to hear more of, just as we have sang, and just as we will sing more of, we are here to celebrate Jesus Christ. And we are so excited about the difference that He has to make in your life. I like to do something a little catchy at the beginning of many of my sermons, about every 3 weeks, where I make everybody feel uncomfortable and get up and talk to people and say something. So I'm going to spare you that today. So if you're here for Easter, you don't have to do a group activity with the sermon. But I do just want you to think of one little, the answer to one little question. What's the worst job you've ever had? And don't say the job I have right now. What's the worst job you've ever had? Can you think of that? All right, without standing up, just turn and take 10 seconds and tell somebody around you what that job was. You know what's worse than a bad job? You know what's worse than a bad job? No job. Can I get an amen to that? You know what's worse than a bad job is no job. On the first date that Marissa and I ever went on, we were at a little Irish pub in downtown Peoria. We spent 3 hours getting to know each other. And do you know how hard it is to hide two facts that are very important to your life during a 3-hour conversation on a first date? The first fact being, I don't have a job. Do you know how hard it is to put your best foot forward on a first date when you have no source of income? The only thing that would top that, that I was doing my best to hide, was not just that I have no job, but I live with my parents. Woohoo! I live with my parents. And so, like, I am the walking embodiment of George Costanza in downtown Peoria on a snowy December night many, many years ago. And I went out of my way to hide the two things that I thought were wrong with me. If she knows these two things, she won't want to hang out with me. If she knows these two things, she's definitely not going to go out with me again. If she knows these two things, she's going to say, well, what else is this guy hiding from me? Which she later found out. Those are the things that you hide. Because you know what nobody leads with? You're going to have to pay for the dates for the next 3 months. You know what nobody leads with? If you ever want to watch a movie, my mom likes to watch movies too. Nobody leads with what is perceived to be wrong with them. We know this is true, don't we? We don't brag about bankruptcy. Nobody says, how's your week going? Oh, it was great. I spent 6 hours on the phone with the IRS. It's awesome. No, nobody leads with the problems in their finances. You know how we know this is true? That we hide things we don't want people to know about? That we leave parts of the story out? Because nobody says, you know, how are you doing on Easter Sunday? I'm doing great. My teenager smokes weed. No one leads with the problems of leading and raising a teenager. People say they don't parade their problems at church. They hide their problems at church. I heard Garrison Keillor say that one time. We leave out seemingly important but also shameful parts of our story, of our life, when it comes to opening up and relating to another person. We are like me on a first date, on you on a job interview, you meeting a neighbor. We put the best front forward and make sure that the things we don't want to know about, we want other people to know about, that we don't even want to own up to, get pushed back, skipped over, part of the story redacted. Has anybody here ever hidden or skipped over or covered up or left out even a little part of their life out of fear that if somebody knew that, they will withhold relationship from me. Just take a minute and honestly nod if you have ever done that. When I was a little kid, we got four channels. ABC, CBS, NBC, and WGN. And so that meant that there were three shows that were always on WGN when I was a kid growing up. That's why I'm a sucker. I'm a Cubs fan because I got Harry Carey and Steve Stone growing up. Oh, we got a divided church here. Wow. The one that will unify us, I grew up on Bozo. I love the grand prize game. That's all I ever wanted to win. So you got the Cubs and you got Bozo. But you know what else WGN was always showing reruns of? The greatest movie ever made, The Blues Brothers. And so when The Blues Brothers came on, our family stopped. We all parked down and we watched it with the intensity of someone watching Schindler's List for the first time. We were so excited to watch The Blues Brothers. But the first two or three times I watched it, I realized something. There was an edited version that they showed on television that was not like the one that you could rent with mom and dad's permission down on Main Street. There were very important parts of the movie where they left things out. Maybe it was language. Maybe it's where Princess Leia has a machine gun trying to kill Jake and Elwood. But there are pieces of the story that they cut out to make things more presentable. When we do that, when we cut out pieces of the story of our life to make things more presentable, it's not for censorship. It's for self-preservation. It's so that we don't open ourselves up too much and don't be vulnerable enough to show where things have not gone right, where things do not work well, in the fear that when someone knows that, that love, that relationship, that camaraderie will be withheld. Now, of course, there's a great irony to that. The great irony is that's the exact opposite way that Jesus lived. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus lived and in what we celebrate on Easter. In the 8th chapter of Mark, Jesus has just announced that he is the Son of God, and everyone discovers that he is the Messiah, and this should seemingly be a moment where everybody rallies around to him. But look what Jesus says. This is the equivalent of like getting the nomination for your political party. You've got all the cameras on you. People want to hear what you have to say, and this is the platform of which he announces. He, that's Jesus, then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. If you got a little highlighter in your mind, look at these words that Jesus presents as to the authority of his life in the story that he is living. Suffer. Rejected, killed, suffered, rejected, killed. You can't get to the last line where he would rise again after 3 days without knowing the whole story. You see, this is why I love Jesus Christ. When God writes the story of his life, in some ways it is no different than ours. He suffered. He was rejected by people that are seemingly important. And he died. This is why I love Jesus. And this is what Jesus invites you into. That when you sit down and tell and write and share the story of your life, you have permission to stop skipping over all the stuff you want to hide. That's a really fancy way of saying, if you're unemployed, say it. If you're hurting, say it. If you're depressed, own it. If you doubt, you're like everybody else. You're just willing to be honest about it. When we tell the story of our life, we align ourselves with Jesus. When we don't leave out the tough stuff, but that we own the truth of our lives just as Jesus did. You know, there's a great irony to Christianity. That the symbol of our faith is a cross. Everybody look at this cross that Dean made for us here. Dean Collins made this for us. We're thankful for this. Now, you can go to Arlington National Cemetery and you will see fields and fields of small white crosses. You drive down a highway and you see two crosses at the side of the road. What happened there? Somebody died. We commemorate death with a cross. But like Roger highlighted, a cross is a symbol of execution. It is a symbol of a violent death. Play this out with me and you will understand what a cross is. A cross is an electric chair. Can you imagine a communion table at a beautiful little country church, which on the communion table sits a symbol of an electric chair? Nobody goes to the jewelry store and says, "Man, do you have any really nice gold electric chairs? I'd like to put it on my neck, wear it to homecoming." No. The cross is a gas chamber. No one symbolizes their faith with a gas chamber of poisonous gas that kills someone at the hands of the state as Jesus was. But that's what the cross is. No one in South Alabama has stained glass windows in their church of a lynching tree with a noose. That is the cross. And so when Jesus says, "I am going to the cross and you will believe in me through this," this takes the most painful, ugly thing that we could think of and says, "I am going to write a story that includes this, because at the end of it is life." At the end of it is always, always life. So what I hope for you today is that you will give God your whole story. I hope that you will give God the whole story of your life. Because when we believe the whole story of Jesus Christ, that He lived, that He suffered, that He died, and that He rose again, we get to join with Him by saying, "This is my life, this is my sin, this is where I fail, this is where I hurt, this is where someone hurt me. But God, I want to join with you in that. I'm going to give you all of my life," and that God can use all of that to help you write a story of blessing. When I was in seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, there were four or five buddies of mine, and we used to get together on Sunday nights. We had our little student churches of like 30, 40 people. And we would get together on Sunday nights at a little bar and grill called the White Elephant Tavern. Now, you don't know where the White Elephant Tavern is, but you do know who Chuck Norris is, don't you? We got any Chuck Norris fans in the church? Walker, Texas Ranger. The bar that was set in is the White Elephant Bar and Grill. And so when we would go in there, we were always kind of hoping that we could see Chuck Norris and like roundhouse kick somebody in the head and do all that kind of stuff. Didn't quite have the ability, can't get my foot up over the bar stool. But that is where we would go for two reasons. One, it was a really cool place. And number two, it was open mic night. Now, open mic night can go really bad, correct? You've watched the first week of American Idol where somebody's like, "What do you mean I can't sing?" Imagine taking an hour of that with really bad country music about your dog dying and your mama going to jail. All that stuff, that is what open mic night is. But there was a hope. I never experienced it, but I met people that did. That many, many Sunday nights on open mic night, a country legend would sneak in the back and go up and play three songs and leave. I have a friend that will go to his grave telling me he heard Garth Brooks at the White Elephant Tavern. I have a friend that swears to me he saw George Strait sing "All My Exes Live in Texas" at open mic night at the White Elephant Saloon. I never experienced that. I went there for years and never experience that. But I saw other people that said something happened. I talked to other people that had a story that didn't match up with mine. And I finally thought, like, well, there's just like this word that gets out. Jeff is coming, no one famous show up. You know, Easter sometimes is not all that different than Sunday night at that bar for me. You have heard people say, I've experienced God. You have heard people say, Easter is significant. You have heard someone say, I prayed and this happened. And you don't disbelieve them, but you've never known it. Well, what I want you to know on this Easter is you are not exempt from the gift of Easter. Your life does not exempt you from Easter. In fact, your life is the only requirement to experience Easter. It is not for the few. It is not for a handful. It is for the people that are willing to own all of the story of their life, all of their sin, all of the time they missed the mark, all the ways that they've been disappointed and disappointed others. If you just take that and give that to God, let that rest on this instrument of execution where Jesus hung for you and me, we get to know the joy of the resurrection. The greatest gift you can give God is the whole story of your life. And the greatest gift you can give your neighbor is the whole story of your life. Answer these questions for me in your own mind. Your family, it's difficult. In public, you smile. And at home, you are held together by fragile pieces. And you have kids, and maybe they're hers, and maybe they're his, and maybe they're yours, but you have a hard, hard time making all of that work. Who is best equipped to encourage you? A family that says, we've got it all together. Or a family that says, we've been through that, and we're probably still going through that. But God is helping us through it. Who's better equipped to answer that? Who's better equipped to minister to them? The person that tells the whole story of their life. And we can talk about money, and we can talk about not meeting our parents' expectations, and we can talk about the problem of a spiritual mismatch in your marriage. The best way to be blessed in your pain is to be honest about your pain, because there is someone that is ready to say, I'll tell you my whole story, and you will see Jesus in that, because he suffered and he was rejected, and I've hurt and I've suffered, and I found it when I gave God that story. I found Easter. So I hope that you will tell the whole story this Easter. I hope that you will find the courage to tell the whole story of Easter in your life. All of the sin, all of the wreck, all of the little mistakes that you didn't think anybody knew about, but over time, it kind of hurt you. It doesn't have to be some big catastrophe in order for you to skip over pieces. It's just something that I'm going to keep over here. God loves to take all our broken pieces. And when we hand it to Him and let Him tell the whole story, that's when we join with Jesus and experience Easter. When I was a little kid, we got popcorn. Every year at Christmas, every year at Easter. And it was just like this. Anybody remember the divider? You got the three flavors of popcorn? Guess what the first thing my mom told us to not do was when we opened up this popcorn? Don't take the divider out. Don't mix them up. I don't like this, I like this. Mama. So of course, what's the first thing that we did when mom turned around? No, that's why I didn't test run it. I can't get it out. I need somebody strong. Any Wisconsin fans here? Come help me out. That's my humility. This is your life far too often. We have compartmentalized it. And we have let pieces of pain stay over here. and we have let pieces of blessing stay over here and we push them towards the front. But what God wants you to do this Easter Do you get the point, or do I have to make a bigger mess? Just let it all swirl around. Let it all be real in your soul. Stop compartmentalizing what you did right or what you did wrong, and just say, God, this is the whole thing, warts and all. And when you do that, you will discover the gift of the resurrection. Because you don't get to Easter without someone who suffered and rejected and died, but then rose again. Don't you want to rise again? Let's pray together. We thank you, God, for the story of Easter. We thank you for a Lord who was turned over to the authorities, who told the truth about his life, and then died on a cross for us so that we could live forever. And oh God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that we don't have to skip over anything. That doesn't mean we advertise it. That doesn't mean it's all over our social media profile. It just means that in our hearts and with you and probably one other person, we can be free to tell the story of our life and own up to who we are. Oh God, we don't have to live in shame, because through this Holy Week, we see that we are loved and we are forgiven no matter what. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.